This morning's message, coming from the book of Isaiah, 59th chapter, the 20th verse, entitled, Knowing Jesus and God the Father. Knowing Jesus and God the Father. Because, as Job, I don't know if a lot of people read and study Job, but one of the most popular books in the Bible, but I don't know if we've extricated, use an expository sermon to preach it, to draw everything out of it, to strengthen us, as Job was strengthened. Yes. There's a man that had lost everything, lost all his material wealth plus all of his children. But one thing about Job that I find about people nowadays that are under the supposedly the new covenant of knowing Jesus Christ, that don't know Jesus the way Job knew Jesus. Yes. Job knew Jesus, but it was God that was kind of maybe alien to Job. In other words, he knew some things about God, but the problem was the omniscience of God, the depth of understanding and knowing God, that it was the same as knowing Jesus. It was the same as knowing Jesus. So I entitled the sermon, Knowing Jesus and God the Father. A disciple is one that lives and walks and abide with his master. In those days, a disciple would stay with the master, or stay with his teacher. They had the followers of Aristotle and all of the philosophers during those days. The people would follow him around, Socrates and all of those. But with Jesus' disciples, they had stayed with him three and a half years. And after that time, they had known the manner of man, and they even gave their lives for him. Yeah. But Philip, when he come toward the end of life and come toward the end, Jesus was talking, and they said, Lord, plainly, show us the Father. Yeah. And Jesus told Philip, he says, have I not been so long time with you, and you have not known me? If he said, show us the Father, he said, if you had seen me, you've seen the Father. In essence, what Jesus was, he was the express image of the Father. That's what the Bible tells us. He's the express image of the Father, and that's what he's trying to do. Make us in his image. Now the likeness was a little bit easier. The likeness, because he made man in the likeness, similitude of God. In other words, we see man. That's the physical characteristics and the looks of man. And the likeness. But that image is with the mind. Is the what God was or whatever. And that's what Jesus was. He was the essence of the Father. And that's why it says that he didn't see as being as God was. He didn't think it robbery to be like God, you know, because him and God was one, because he was begotten of the Father. And what the word begotten means is deity taken out of deity. You see, and Jesus wasn't born. The Son was given. Jesus was always here. The Son was always here because he was the only begotten of the Father. But to become like us, he had to become like man. He had to become like man, in man's image, in man's likeness. That meant he had to be born of a woman. He had to be born of a woman. The Son was given. And to be born of that woman, what happened, he looked down and seen the condition man was in. Let me hold up a minute here. He looked and he seen man's condition. He seen man's condition. In the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, it says, a redeemer will come to Zion and to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. Because he had looked down and seen the depravity, the condition man was in, and man needed a Savior. Man was dead in sins and transgression. He was lost and he was going to the grave, to hell. He had no hope. But he volunteered. He told the Father, say, he would go to redeem a remnant, that he would buy a remnant back. The Father had given him a designated number of people that he would buy back. But what happened, he had to become as man. He created man in his image and likeness, and he couldn't just see that image destroyed. He couldn't see that just cast away into eternal doom, eternal vanity. And so he chose to redeem a portion of mankind, a remnant to be saved. But to do that, he had to become their kinsman. He had to become like man. So in the beginning, in the creation, that the Son of God, our Redeemer, he says, he shall come to Zion, he shall come to the church, he shall come to the place that God had designed, a central meeting place, a central place. That place is the church. And he was going to deliver mankind. He was going to bring mankind from one point to another one. He was going to bring mankind out of darkness, out of his lostness. The promises both of the Old and the New Testament, this redemption that he was in Jerusalem, which was called Zion, would be worldwide. But it would be a people that believed in him, that trusted and had faith that he, their creator, he, their brother, he, a joint heir. In other words, that was going to be a process in which he was going to make man in that image that he started in the beginning. Wouldn't any that he chose be lost? And so he had to do it with his powerful arm. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was going to be his death, the death of his only begotten Son. The death of the Son that he had begotten, that's what separated God and man. That's why on the cross when he says, my God, my God, and notice he didn't say my Father, he said, my God, why art thou forsaken me? With what sin brought about was the separation that it cost God, and by God's strong arm, which is not shortened to save, he reached down and he saved man, but it cost him. It cost God. Yes. And through the power of God, we see where it cost the world. It cost Egypt the death of their firstborn. It cost a whole country to be sold, a whole country given for ransom, to buy man back. So when Israel crossed the Red Sea and left out of bondage to this malevolent force, this bondage of sin, this satanic, the adversary that had crept in upon man, that grave had lost the victory in which they had achieved because of man's disobedience, because it was by one man's transgression that sin entered into the world, that death, and it was because of words that were spoken, it was because of words that was that went about in man disbelieved, not man wasn't deceived, the woman was deceived, but man knew. So it was man that lost this lease. It was man whereby sin entered into the world through one man, that man Adam, which is the corporate representative of man. He's the corporate representative of all men. So what happened is, that corporate representative, his blood was tainted, and any man that had came from him was destined to die. So Jesus couldn't come from man. The Redeemer couldn't come from man. But God's word was true that the day they ate of that fruit, they should surely die. So what happened, God came down, and this woman that was deceived, because like I said, the woman was deceived, she was tricked. Whereas Adam knew he was in transgression, he wasn't deceived. Adam knew. And the woman, I don't know what it was between the woman and her husband or whatever, but she didn't get the command from God. It was from her husband. I guess that's why he told her that she was going to be subject unto her husband, and that he was going to have her desire shall be over unto her husband. But to the woman, he promised a redeemer. But that goes all the way back to the Genesis story, where Christ in the beginning was promised. We see here in Genesis 3:15 where it says, I will put enmity, that is open hostility, between you and the woman, that is the serpent and the woman, and between your seed, that is your offspring, and her seed. Her seed being Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus Christ, the one, he says, he shall fatally bruise your head, and you shall only bruise his heel. So that would be an open battle throughout eternity between the woman's seed and Satan's seed, which is in the earth, which is man.
Yes.
Because that's why Jesus told, when he was battling with the Pharisees, he told them, you of your father the devil. In other words, they was in the image of Satan. They carried his characteristics. Yes. They were just like Satan, that they were of their father the devil. And Satan does have a seed in the earth. We wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So that malevolent spirit got into man. It's in man's blood. It contaminates man. That's the depravity of man. And it's in us also. That's the nature that doesn't die, that we have to battle. That's why we have to put self to death.
Amen. Yes.
And that's why every time we attempt to do good, evil is right there. So that's why the gospel had its beginning there. Was in Genesis, because of the word spoken to Adam that thou shalt surely die, and we still speaking that word today. That's the good news that we bring, that there is a Redeemer, there is one that reconciles us to God,
yes,
that justifies us, that puts us back in right standing with God. We continue on with that dominion that was given us in the beginning if we are born again.
Amen.
And that sister came in last week, her and her mother, Sister Granger, she was saying that she was born again.
Mm.
Like me, she was raised in the Baptist church, but she started listening about the Sabbath, and she had heard us on sermon audio talking about the Sabbath. And I told you, there's something key to the Sabbath. Once you start following the Sabbath, that's the rest of Jesus Christ. That's how I kind of knew something was different about her, that she had been born again once that Sabbath, because there's rejubilation in the Sabbath. Once you start seeing that, that's the God of creation working in you, taking you all the way back to the beginning, where you rest in Christ. You trusting in Christ now.
Yes.
That's your rest, is Jesus Christ. That's why I say the gospel had its beginning. I used that word in Bible study, and I told you I was trying to keep on trying to pronounce that word proto-evangelion. My wife said, what are you saying? I say proto-evangelion. In other words, this is the first announcement of the gospel.
Yes.
This is the first prophecy about the Messiah, Christ, who through his death on the cross and resurrection would ultimately defeat Satan, the power of the serpent. Now, he give us that power also. We have wonder-working power. We have that power that we're going to exercise in this day and time to crush Satan. Because he says you're going to bruise his head. Now, that hadn't happened during his time when he came. When he came, he opened the books. He came into the temple, and he opened up the books, and he preached from Isaiah 61. That could be found in the book of Luke, the fourth chapter of Luke. When he came into the in the synagogues and they gave him the books to preach, and he opened up the books to preach from the books at that time, he went into the synagogues to preach, the 18th verse of the 4th chapter, and he spoke this scripture. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and a recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So that's when he came, preaching the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. It was amongst the people. But notice that's where he stopped at. He stopped midway here in this proclamation. He didn't finish that, though. That if you continue on that, it would have said, to preach to them that are in prison, those that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And in that second verse, he stopped mid-verse.
Yeah.
The rest of that verse says, the day of vengeance of our Lord. Mm. Now, I told you he was our avenger of blood. And see, he didn't say that the day of vengeance is at hand, because now is that day of vengeance during his second advent. As judgment comes to the earth, that's when the day of the Lord's coming, as this judgment comes and the saints of God are getting ready to rule and reign with him, to exercise that year of Jubilee, that time of restoration, when he brings back the seed of Jacob, when he brings back the church, when the fullness of time comes, he had sent his son made of a woman. All of creation has been waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. We are those sons of God. Now we are to speak these things into existence.
Yes.
I told you about Brother Job, that he knew that his Redeemer liveth. And if we know that our Redeemer liveth, we would know that it's Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ, and that Christ is God.
Yes, Lord.
You see, when Job was petitioning for a counsel with God and to talk with God, and he wanted a mediator with God, Jesus Christ was that advocate with the Father, but he was God also. That's why our reading scripture comes from, because they didn't know that Jesus is God. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses get so upset about when you tell them that Jesus is God. They'll agree with you and say Jesus is a God, but they don't want to say Jesus is the one God. But I told you in Isaiah 43 and 1, he says, but now saith the Lord that created thee. What he did? He's the one that created thee.
Yes.
That same word that was in the beginning with God, he created all things. All things exist by him and through him. And that's where we have our existence, when we abide in him.
Amen.
He says, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee.
Yes.
Notice that's a past participle, that I have redeemed me. We have to see that this is an action that's in the past. That this is a foregone conclusion, that this is something that has happened. If we don't see this as has happened, we won't walk and glorify God.
Yes.
We have to see that he's done this. He accomplished it, and it was finished on the cross. the reason he say it is finished. It's a done deal. All we have to do is walk therein. Our kindred redeemer who was born of a woman, who was born like us. He was born in flesh and blood just as we are. But he was the seed of the woman. Now, he didn't have man's old tainted blood in him. It was of the Holy Spirit that which was in Mary. So it was the seed of the woman without man's blood. Now, being linked to each other by the blood of Christ, we are the family of God. We are the family of God because how we're linked? By the blood of Jesus Christ. By his own blood, the purchase price. That precious blood that redeemed us. It was the blood of the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. It caused God to send his innocent, his only begotten God to be murdered by cruel, evil men in the wicked hand of men to be murdered on the cross. It caused God everything. Now, if he's given us his son, won't he give us everything else? Jesus died to make us co-heirs with him. Why don't we walk in a regenerated life to achieve these things? See, Job stood up. Job didn't never cave. Job knew this wasn't about sin. His friends were trying to convince him about sin. Don't let nobody convince you you're a sinner and you sin. He died to save us, what? From our sin. So shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? God forbid. We don't practice sin. We don't walk in sin. We are the family of God. The book of Acts says, as Paul was preaching his farewell speech from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and summoned the elders of the church. And when he arrived there, he said to them that he had preached the whole gospel to them. He hadn't ceased from preaching the full counsel of God. He didn't shrink back from it, teaching you in public meetings and from house to house, testifying to both Jews and Greeks, urging them to turn in repentance to God. And that's what it is, those that turn from transgression in Jacob. Yeah. It's not like the people over in Israel that are murdering and killing now. Yeah. There are many Israeli and Palestinians at colleges and universities throughout this nation that are saying it's wrong what Israel is doing, and we are one people now. We are one in Christ Jesus. Get away from this barbaric murdering and killing the way Netanyahu is doing there. Yeah. That we are one people. God had called his people to peace by the God of peace. See, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, the God of peace. They believe in Yahweh, but they don't know who Yahweh is. They don't know God. That's why he told Moses, tell him I am sent me. I am who I am. They didn't know God. You see, to know the only wise God is to know Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You see, that's why it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's why he says, come unto me and rest. See, he's our Sabbath rest. There's rest in Christ Jesus. And if we would learn in him and continue in his word, that's when we're his disciples. Amen. We have to study his word and continue and get to know him. Philip hadn't got to know him, he would have knew who the Father was.
Yes.
You say, have you not been so long with me, Philip, and you had not known me? You've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
Philip couldn't pray our Father then, you see, because he didn't know who Christ the Father was. It affirms, Paul said, but I do not consider my life as something of value or dear to me, so that I may finish my course and my ministry, which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
To testify faithfully of the good news, the precious grace, which had made us free of guilt and sin and grants us eternal life. And now listen carefully. I know that none of you among you will see my face again. But I went about preaching the kingdom of God, and I still go about. That's what he's commissioned us, to go out and preach the kingdom of God.
Yes.
You see, I hope that sister is teaching and preaching the kingdom of God in Natchez, Mississippi.
Yes.
I hope she's declaring and glorifying that she has been born again, and she knows she have a Redeemer, and that Redeemer liveth because he liveth in us.
Yes.
He liveth in her. He liveth in each and every one of us that's been born again. He's regenerating us. He's redeeming us. We have the earnest of the inheritance in us. We've been sealed.
Yes.
Paul says, for that reason, I testify you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all people, for I didn't shrink from declaring the whole purpose of the plan of God. In other words, the whole gospel. See, because if you don't, he's made us watchmen. And if you don't tell the people and show them their sins and transgression, he told Ezekiel, their blood's going to be required at your hand.
Yes, yes.
You don't want them. You can't set still. That spirit, Jeremiah says, like fire shut up in my bone. I can't set still and not tell you the way to eternal life, the way back to God. He had given me, he had given each and every one of us the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile us back to God. He had redeemed us. Now, if you're not part of those, if that fire hadn't set off in you, you hadn't been born again. That's why he told you to go back to that central meeting place. Go back to Zion in repentance, giving up this present world. That's why he died, to deliver us from this present evil world. Go back to Zion. He told his disciples, go back to the Galilee in terror until you be endued with power from on high.
Yes.
The ability to tell somebody without fear. He hadn't given us a spirit of fear. Don't be scared.
Uh-uh.
If you're scared, you can't tell them.
Nope.
He says, now, take care and be on guard for yourselves and for the whole flock which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers, and to shepherd the flock which he had bought with his own blood. What he bought it with? His own blood. He bought it with his own blood. That's what you were bought, with the blood of the Lamb, with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Next week we'll sit at that table as a memorial. He's our Passover Lamb. That broken body and that shed blood. He said, this do in remembrance of me.
Yes.
As often as you do it, remember how we got to this point.
Yes.
That's what keeps us alive. Knowing, as Job says, I know though the skin runs destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He knew his Redeemer living.
Yeah.
Do you know your Redeemer living?
Yeah.
See, you can be just like Job. You can come through this thing if you learn the lesson. If you start to see he's going to rise and exalt you, he want to do like he did Job. He wants us to walk about and glorify God in our body. He gave Job double everything he had. See, now the resurrection wasn't here yet. So he didn't raise those children up. But he only gave Job 7 sons and 3 daughters because he knew he would see those children in the resurrection.
Yes, yes.
That's why Mary and Martha, they knew of the resurrection. They say, we know that our brother live again in the resurrection. But Jesus say, I am the resurrection. See, he had came in. I am the resurrection. And that's what we have to do. We have to see him as the resurrection. We don't die anymore. We're not afraid of death. We only sleep. We'll be sleeping in Jesus.
Yes.
That's why Job could say, bury me in the grave, because he knew the resurrection, that we will live again. He had given us eternal life. Do you believe you have eternal life?
Yes.
If you live like you bulletproof, if you live like Jesus Christ, you're not afraid of him that can kill the body. You're not afraid of him that can do all that, because you serve the master. You know who God is.
Yes.
You're a bondservant of Jesus Christ. He had given you a job to do. And if you know him, you know he's better than anything else. And his word is just like gold. It's tried in the fire.
Yes.
If he had promised, that he will do. The second point here is knowledge. The first point was kinship. And we see over the teaching and the instruction that he is our near kinsman. He had redeemed us. He had bought us back. That requisite, that requirement, that's why he came in the flesh, so he can be born of flesh and blood and partake of flesh and blood just like we did.
Yes.
But not of the tainted blood of man.
Mm.
but of the seed of the woman. So he had woman's blood in him.
Right.
So he was able to redeem us. Amen. Now the second point would be knowledge. That's what Job said. He know he's redeemer living. We have to have a close relationship with someone. We have to know them. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of people go around casting out devils and feeding the sick and needy, but they won't make heaven. They won't make the kingdom of God because Jesus Christ says, I never knew you.
Yes.
You see, because they're doing it of their own accord.
Right. Right.
They're doing it from selfish motivations. They don't have a relationship with God. That's what Christianity is about today. There are so many false professors in the faith today. Now, what happens is when Christ comes in our lives and we are born again,
yes,
we are born of the Spirit of God. Isaiah 10:27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day. In what day? The day of the Lord. The day of the vengeance of God. The day God buys you back. He says, in that day, his burden shall be taken off thy shoulders, and his yoke shall fall off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Mm. I've consistently told y'all, it's the anointing that breaks the yoke.
Yes.
The anointing breaks the yoke. His burden, the burden of bearing the yoke all of your life, in bondage to Satan, in bondage to the world, in bondage to the things of this world, he redeemed, he bought you back. You're not under the influence of the things of this world. So why should you walk in darkness any longer? We once walked in darkness as the rest of the Gentiles. Now we have to walk in light as he's in the light. He's going to be a lamp unto our pathway. He's going to show us the way. That's why he bought us back, so we wouldn't continue in sin. We would have power over sin. The anointing broke the yoke. You're not under the yoke of bondage. That's why he said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. You're no longer under the bondage of the will of Satan, tossed and turned about by every doctrine, every wind of doctrine, and all of these other things.
Yeah.
He said, my burden is light. He's going to lift that burden up off you. And you take his burden upon you. His burden is easy. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. We're under Christ now. We've been born again. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all ye are weary and heavy burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace. You're in churches and you're trying to please the preacher by doing this and inviting people to church and doing all these things. It's religion that weighs you down. That's why so many people are coming out religion, because religion in itself is like the Pharisees that did the Sabbath, that made the Sabbath cumbersome to people, and people dreaded the Sabbath. They didn't understand. They had someone teaching them that didn't know. They had Satan leading and guiding them about. They were in darkness. If the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch.
Yes.
But now that we've come under the light, he says, I will give you rest. Come under me and rest. He gives us a Sabbath rest. That's what he made the Sabbath for man to rest. If we would come under Jesus, we would rest and find out that he had did it all. He had bore the burden. He had bore our sins.
Yes.
Stop struggling and give in. Die to self. Stop trying to save your life. He who tried to save his life will lose it.
Yes.
That's refreshing your souls with his salvation. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That is, follow me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. That is, renewal and blessed quietness in me. Philippians 4:3 says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. A yoke fellow is someone that's in the same relationship with you. And if we are bound together in the same yoke, that's why they put animals that are in the same in the yoke. They say, don't plow with someone that's not like you. There are a lot of us that are unequally yoked.
Right.
We're not with the others that are the same as us. We are mixed pair. And God says, be ye equally yoked. You unequally yoked if you a male and a male, that the plow's not right. Some go ahead, some go behind. But if a male and a female, she submits herself because God has a certain order in life, and we want to follow the order of God. God has us made that way. That's the image that He's creating us in. So as we yield ourselves and humble ourselves and submit ourselves unto God, the devil shall flee. The devil flees. And the third point comes kingship. Kingship, Sister Jackson. He says, we shall rule and reign with Him.
Yes.
See, because He had given us dominion in the beginning, and that dominion is given back to us. He won the battle. The battle is won. You read that scripture today. This morning you read, to those that believe, what things shall they accomplish? That they shall cast out devils, that they should do signs and wonders, that they should accomplish a lot as we ruling and reigning with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, because that trespass is forgiven in us, He had justified us. It says at Romans 5:17, for by the trespass of one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man. Mm-hmm. Much more surely will those who receive the abundance and grace and the free gift of righteousness reign through one, that is Jesus Christ. So now we're ruling and reigning through Christ. Those of us who are no longer in Adam, no longer in this world, but had been redeemed, we are in Christ. There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And as He sits on the throne, He told Jesus, sit thou at that right hand while I make thine enemies thine footstool.
Yes.
The day is the day of vengeance. God's going to put His enemy in the place. We're going to trample Satan under our feet.
Yes.
He has made us kings and priests. All we have to do is walk therein in His word. He had rescued us from the bondage of Egypt, from the bondage of this world. He's calling us out of Babylon. He says, don't take part in her plagues. If you stay in this world following Babylon, you will take part in her plagues.
Yes.
But you could come above sickness. You just now read it in the book of Mark, or wherever you was reading, where He says, in my name. See, you could put blindness to sight. You could be healed. He says, all by my stripes were healed. Now be it unto you according to your faith. Do you have faith to be healed? Do you have faith to stand up and walk? Do you have faith to overcome the wicked one? That's what it is. It's in ever increasing faith. Some lack faith. Some lack faith now. But if you have the faith, there's nothing that's impossible for you to do. That's why He says, greater work shall you do because I go to the Father. He died to deliver us from this present evil world, from the influences of the world, from the people of the world, from the things of the world. He says, keep them in the world, but keep them from the evil that's in the world.
Yeah.
So if His word sanctifies us, it sets us apart from the world, then we glorify God in our body. It's others saying, look at Him, I want to be like Him. Mm. That's why Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Are you a living example? See, that's why we should be walking as redeeming influences ourselves. That's what He had set us in His image and likeness. That's what Israel's supposed to be. They're supposed to be an example unto the world. But this Israel today, that's not an example to the world. They murder us just like the rest of the world. That doesn't set them apart from anybody. They like David. They are men of blood. They can't build the house of God. Peace builds the house of God.
Yes.
Now through preaching God's word, through the declaration of God's word, shall everything be established. You are established by His gospel. The gospel is able to establish you. All you have to do is what Mary told the disciples. All he have to do is what the centurion asked Jesus to do. All you have to do is speak the word. Speak the word. Mary said, whatever He tell you to do, that you do. That you do. We walking according to God's word. All Adam had to do was what God said do. He said, don't eat of it. Adam shouldn't eat of it. If we obey God, obedience unto righteousness. obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes, yes, yes.
It says, and the devil who had deceived them in Revelation is hurled into the lake of burning brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. The devil going to the same place the rest of them. He don't rule and reign anywhere. He don't. People act like the devil rule and reign in hell. No, he's not ruling and reigning in hell. He's just like everybody else, selling wolf tickets. When they spoof that he's selling wolf tickets, even those he sold the tickets to go turn on him. If you notice this Republican Party, how they turn on one another in a cannibalistic behavior, because one tries to outdo the other one, and when that one falls behind, it's like a wolf pack. They devour one another.
Yes, sir.
If Satan's house is divided, how can it stand? There's unity in Christ Jesus. That's why the world is rising up in peace. The spirit of unity is going throughout the earth. They're saying, let us go into the house of the Lord and learn of him. Mm. And you're building the house of God. Your bodies is the temple of the living God. Mm. As we preached, as we taught in Bible study, your body no longer belongs to you. It belongs to God. And he's going to cause us. Listen at Romans 16 and 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The wonderful grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ is with you.
Yes.
See, because that's what God's word promised. He says that you will crush Satan under your feet. You will bruise his head. We go look at the rest of Isaiah here where he's going to trample in the blood. He says the grace of wrath restored. He had trampled in the blood of those that stood against God, the enemies of God. You will trample in their blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be at the cost of their lives.
Yes.
Avenging wrongdoers, every transgression and every will receive its just recompense of reward. So those that talked about you, see, God says he's our real reward. So those that we standing up and fighting, we're steadfast and immovable in the faith. Don't worry about those that's backbiting and gossip, because God says he's our real reward. He's going to get the backstabbers. He's going to get those that's behind you. You just keep your head forward and keep walking therein.
Yes.
Don't bow yourself low like them and start doing what they're doing and living the way they deal. Two wrongs don't make a right. Don't lower yourself as Michelle Obama says, when they go low, we go high. We take the high road. We pray for those that despitefully use us. We give our enemies the drink.
Yeah.
We are good to the foreigners. We are good to the immigrants because we were once foreigners ourselves.
Yes.
We're foreigners in a pilgrim land. Now we're dependent on others' kindness because we're ambassadors of Christ. We're in a pilgrim land. Now, any of us, give a prophet a cold glass of water, it's going to be remembered. Those that bless Abraham shall be blessed, but those that curse Abraham shall be cursed.
Amen.
What you do to me, you do to the Lord.
Yes.
He says, what you do to the least of these, you do unto me. Do you believe that you are his purchased property?
Yes.
We belong to another man. We are his bondservant.
Yes.
So he says, what you do to the least of these, you do unto me. I'm the avenger. I'll repay. And that's why I say, we're preaching the rest of that sermon that he stopped in the day of vengeance of our Lord. We're going to stand up and say, you know, as my granddaughter, when she sees Papa in the room, she stand up to her little brothers and things, because she know Papa ain't going to let them do nothing now. Papa ain't about to let them do nothing. Now, when she get out of sight, they might tan her up a little bit. But while I'm sitting there, they not going to do anything. We know God's watching us. We know God's presence.
Yes.
We know God is present.
Yes.
Once you know your Redeemer live, you'll be as Job. It wasn't a question of sin, as I said. Job lacked understanding. And that's why in chapter 38, he says, now I see. He said, I talked and I said things without understanding. He didn't understand of the awesome power of God and that God carry out and rule the world in the earth as he want to. Because he told his wife, Alula, he said, if don't we receive good at the Lord's hand, and shouldn't we receive evil also? We don't know how God's carrying out His justice, but today we pray to Him for understanding and to help us to understand and knowing how to go through.
Yes.
See, Job says, now he sees. And see, that's where Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Mm. He says, study the scripture. They are able to make one wise unto salvation. Those that lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So we ask God, and God does as he did the disciples on the road to Emmaus, as he does all the disciples. He opens our understanding that we may understand the scriptures. He opens our understanding. That's why the Bible says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, he's to reveal the mysteries of godliness unto us. That's one of the reasons he redeemed us, so that we can glorify him and carry out his ways. Revelations 1 says, 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead. He's the firstborn, and we are the fruit of that harvest. We're the rest of the ones.
Yeah.
He's that grain of wheat that fell into the ground, and now it's harvest time. Here's the manifestations of the Son of God. Those that believe the scriptures, as he had said, out of our mouths are rivers of living water. All we have to do is go forth and speak the word. That's what's slaying our adversary, the word. It's the gospel. It's power and speech, because he's going to pay back each and every one of y'all that are laying traps and snares that are working the wickedness, that yield yourselves to work darkness, to work for the prince of darkness. You're a servant of who you yield yourself, your members to work unto. Whether unto Satan, unto unrighteousness, or whether to Jesus Christ, unto righteousness. He says, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and who had freed us from all our sins by his own blood. How did he free us? By his own blood. His blood, not our blood, not that precious blood that he shed. That was some precious blood. That's why he said, you must drink of my blood and eat of my body. We're assimilating the blood.
Yeah.
That blood that flows through our veins, that's the blood that revives us. That's the blood that strengthens us. The blood of Jesus Christ. We're covered in the blood. If you didn't have that blood applied to the doorpost, if you don't have his blood applied to your life, the death angels will come in there. Apply his blood to your life. We're covered by the blood. We're washed in the blood. That blood is able to wash and cleanse you from all sin. He says, from his sins by his own blood, and formed us into a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and power and majesty and dominion. He had made us a royal priesthood. He told us we was going to rule and reign with him.
Yes.
Are we willing to walk among him?
Yes.
Because it says the kingdom of God is among you.
Mm.
It's within you. All we have to do is realize the spiritual aspect that this is already done. It's a done deal. Go to the back of the books and see, don't we win in the end? And Job, you have to do as Job. You have to know that this Redeemer liveth. Know that this resurrection has occurred. Daniel 7 chapter says, but the court of the Most High will sit in judgment, and his dominion will be taken away from and consumed gradually to be destroyed forever. Then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom and dominion will last forever.
Yeah.
He's taking this away from Satan. He's bruising his head, and we're walking therein. We will rule and reign here upon this earth. The Davidic kingdom, where Christ's name will go throughout the earth. The deserts will blossom. This is going to be the fruitful Garden of Eden. He had put us here to tend the garden, to keep it, and that's what we're going to do. They neither go hurt or kill in all of his holy mountain. He's going to reverse the creation where the lions will lay down with the lamb. All of creation, it's going to blossom. You will be able to eat the healing from the trees, the tree of life. It's going to be open. That's what he was keeping Adam and Eve from. That's the reason he put them out of the garden. He says, unless they eat of the tree of life and live forever. But he's going to expose us to that tree of life. He's that tree of life.
Yes.
He's that ever-flowing fountain. So how do we conclude this? Concluding this, he had given us a body. And as he had given us that body and given us life in him, we give that body back to him. A body he has prepared. Just like the Father put him in a body and he sacrificed that body, we will present our body as a living sacrifice. We will die daily. He liveth and we die. We crucify self. So we present our body. That's our reasonable service, is we obligated to give back to him. As we lose our life, we live. Because it's his body that we're giving back to him. It don't belong to us. Stop trying to control his body. Give your body unto Christ. Die to self. Yahweh redeems us with this stretched out arm. So the redemption, listen to this. The redemption does not only look back to Calvary, it looks forward to freedom which the redeemed stands in.
Yes.
We're looking that we stand as redeemed beings, that we have been redeemed. Not that we're being redeemed, we are. That's the prayer, like I said, he speaks in eternity. When he says, I am, that means that exists then, it exists present, and it exists futuristic. So what he did from the beginning of the world is a continuous action. He redeemed us and he's redeeming us. It's a process. And we see it's a complete in him that says you're complete in him. So we were bought with a price. When it says bought, you can't unbuy us now. If he had bought us, we can't be returned to the store anymore. Paul can say, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's God's body. It's God's spirit in us. And it's an ever-increasing faith that we live in, 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. So he's going to return. Romans 11, 20 says, and so that in all Israel is all the Jews who have a personal faith in Jesus Christ will be saved, just as it is written. The scripture says the deliverer will come to Zion. Now, we will start reading next week that 21st verse about this is my covenant with you. He had made a new covenant. He had made that covenant with us. That covenant is the circumcision of the heart. We're Jews in the inward portion.
Yes.
The church. We no longer have the bondage of the will and subject unto the things of the world. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3 says, if we bore Satan's image, now we shall bore Christ's image. We're being made anew in his image, in his likeness. The old man is dying. We're putting that man to death.
Yes.
Who we once were, we are no longer him.
Yes.
We were marred from the beginning.
Yes.
Now we are new creations in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So he's delivered us from this present world. Yes. He says, and you he had made alive, who were dead in spiritual transgressions, but now he had quickened us. He has made us alive in Christ Jesus, and we need to walk therein and develop that relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That we glorify him in his body, and we start speaking the things of God. We speak it into existence. We declare those things. As a man believeth, so it be unto him.
Yes.
Nothing is impossible to those that believe. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for strengthening and redeeming me and bringing me to a place, Lord God, to where I understand and see that you had redeemed me. And I have to walk as this is so, Lord God, and believe it as so, and accomplish and glorify you in my body.